Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
The Killer Bee!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, before we get off the Cowboys portion of the program, I do want to get a couple of texts in here as well. Spoiler alert for Cowboys fans, as long as Jerry is the GM, no more Super Bowls, from 5044. And then the final one, if it'll pop up. But basically, again, kind of explaining that Gary is not in the majority. 1077 says, not only Derrick Henry didn't sign with the Cowboys, Aaron Jones and Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley, and the list goes on.
Yeah, but so, they wouldn't have won with all those guys.
Oh, boy. Sorry, I mean, Gare, but come on, man. Yeah. That's just a little bit much. All right, we got more breaking news today. As the Jimmy Butler saga continues to get more and more interesting, the Heat are now planning on suspending Jimmy Butler for 2 more games for missing the team flight, which is interesting on a lot of different avenues there. But Jimmy Butler now will, I guess if Pat Riley's doing nothing else, he's making sure Jimmy Butler is losing a pretty good amount of money now with 9 games being suspended without pay. Since this whole saga started, he wants out. People noticing he did play last night in Portland. The Heat did lose. He was wearing Phoenix Suns colors, supposedly, on his shoes. Now he's suspended again. I think it's also crazy to me, Barry, because of the fact that one of the stories, which I thought was ludicrous, I've never heard anything like this before since I've been in the league and working in the NBA, he was taking private planes that he wanted the team to pick up because he didn't want to travel with the team to road games. But now, what, did they cut that off? And now he's traveling with the team, but he's either late or missing them. Like, this whole thing's just got to end.
Yeah. And what's crazy is now he wants another team to come and trade for him. And if I'm on that short list, and that's what's even more wild. It's just, this saga is crazy enough as it is, but he wants to get out. He's already told the vast 26 of the 30 teams, hey, nah, bro, I'm good. I'm only going to a select few teams. It's like 4 of them that he wants to go to.
But, okay, keep going, because Here's the thing, too, with that. He forced his way out of Chicago.
Yep.
He got into it with Thibodeau and players.
Yep.
He's in Minnesota. He forces his way out of Minnesota, and he completely goes haywire at a practice, taking it out on Karl Anthony Towns and other guys on his team and doing all the things he did there. In Philadelphia, he played well when he was there, and he was mad that they didn't keep him. They ended up keeping other players. So then once he was gone, he went and bashed that franchise for sticking with Tobias Harris instead of him. And now here we are yet again, where it was supposed to be kumbaya in Miami. He took him to the finals in the bubble. He's brought him to heights that no one thought that they could get to. But now, because it's not going his way, here we go again.
And he's like, all right, I want to be traded, but I'm only going to 4 teams. And these are the 4 teams. And then he's acting like this. And if I'm one of those 4 teams and they're all supposed to be contenders, I don't want that in my locker room. If I'm a contender, and not only are you an aging vet who's probably going to want a new deal because he's got a player option coming up next season that he's using, by the way, as leverage.
He wants the max. He wants 60.
See, I'm not touching this. I'm not touching this deal. And that's using his player option next season as a threat to the Heat and Pat Riley. If you don't trade me, I'll exercise it. And it's because it's a terrible thing. It's like $52 million next season.
That's
so
why
like,
you
either
look.
Trade me or I'm going to exercise it. And they don't want
that. I will
that.
Say this. I think that he for the rest of the year wherever he goes because he's trying to get another contract. He'll be on his best behavior. But his track record shows once he gets what he wants and gets his money and gets the power that he goes off the rails very, very quickly. And
I don't think want the other this thing in my locker room. Especially like the Rockies because that's one of the teams that that's on his list that he would go to. Bro, I wouldn't mess up that team's chemistry and that whole organization. Not for Jimmy Butler. Ain't no
See,
way.
See, here's the thing. Here's what I said a few weeks ago because they had a real problem closing out games and they were, you know, they were melting down in the final 3 to 5 minutes of games, blowing 15-point leads, losing games they should have won. And I said, look, because Miami now is in a rock, they're over a rock and a hard place because of the fact that everybody knows you have to trade him. Everybody knows he's free at the end of the year. So if you only had to give up Jock Landale, Aaron Holiday, a conditional first or second round pick down the road and and the money works, and you could add a guy that's going to be on his best behavior for the rest of the year and be a closer and a guy that you could go to, which they don't have right now, then I think that's the only way it benefits the Rockets. But with the Rockets continuing to just play well, I'm more so than ever in the camp of they don't need to do a damn thing, and maybe they're not going to win it this year, but they continue to be on that path of rising to getting to the level of being one of the best teams in the league without having to deal with all this.
And if you're going to make a trade, I saw when did I talk about it? It was last week, I think. There was a couple of trade proposals on ESPN, on ESPN Plus. You probably saw them. It was like five different trade proposals that could alter the course of the NBA Finals this season. Mm-hmm. And one of them had Phoenix just saying, forget it, right? And breaking up the whole thing. And had them moving Kevin Durant to Houston. And basically, Houston wasn't giving up anything. They weren't giving up their core at all. I think the biggest thing that they gave up was I'd got to go find it again, but it was nobody that you would look at and go, uh-uh.
It's probably Cam and Reed because those are the two younger guys.
It was Cam.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't even Reed Shepard. It was Cam, and I think I'll find it, but I think
Cam here's the thing too, Barry, on that point, because another one came out yesterday where it's a blockbuster that's Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and a bench player from the Warriors coming to the Rockets for Reed and Cam and all these different things.
What?
Yeah, if the Rockets did something that stupid to break up even the outer fringes of their young core to try and find some and with Steph and Draymond here and Draymond's attitude, and we're talking about in the locker room and how that affects players, and then Steph because he's going to command the ball so much and trying to also see how that, you know, either positively or negatively affects the rest of the team. I didn't think that one makes sense. I now don't think the Butler thing makes sense. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if you saw this. The only one that I was interested in your guys' thoughts, Robert Williams, who was a big man for Udoka in Boston that Udoka really likes, and he's tried to get previously. They had mics on the floor after the game where they think that they caught a lot of the guys telling Robert Williams, a lot of Rockets guys telling him, we'll see you at the trade deadline. Now, if they want to add a shot blocker that can defend, that can run the floor like him, it's great. The problem is that there are other teams that want him, so therefore the price goes up. Now, a guy that shouldn't be commanding a whole lot, they're talking about first-round picks and possible young players and packages. I'm certainly not giving up a package that includes some of my young pieces for Robert Williams.
I'm with you. I would do it. I would do it in a heartbeat, but...
But I'm not doing it if it means giving up the young guys.
No, now here I found the deal. Okay, you ready? Mm-hmm. Suns Big Three era ends with KD leaving. Here's the trade. The Rockets get Kevin Durant, Bol Bol, Monty Morris, guard Monty Morris, and guard Damian Lee. The Suns get forward Dylan Brooks, forward Cam Whitmore, Jayshon Tate, Jeff Green, and Jock Landale. And two first-round picks, and it's basically they're getting their picks back. Their 2025 picks back, yeah. And 2027 picks. I would do that deal, bro.
I would.
I would do that just, deal.
See,
you know why I would
KD's
do that
KD's older. He's expensive.
Yeah, he's older.
He is a closer, and he's still good.
And he's still good for the next 2 years. which is
my And I love getting rid of Dylan Brooks, but look, and people know how much I believe in Cam Whitmore's ability. If he figures it out in terms of his maturity, he's just too good to give up in a deal like that, that I don't know if that deal gets you that much closer to a championship. Yes, he is a guy that, you know, that I'm saying they needed a closer. But I just think that, you know, at 30-some years old, on the late side of 30s, going in with this young roster, I'm just not sure he's the right fit either.
Booker's the guy I want from the Suns.
Booker would be the guy as well that I agree with. Yeah. But now here's the other thing, Barry, to your initial point.
Here's the thing. Hold on. I'm doing the deal simply because you get Bobo, and I want Bobo highlights. Feed them to me all day, bro. Feed them to me like
don't sleep on him now. He can play a little bit.
I love it, bro. Have you sat down? Go to everybody.
He can play.
No, listen, everyone that can hear our voices, this is what I want you to do when you get home from work, because you're driving right now. When you get home, I want you to get home. Don't do it in traffic. This is too dangerous right now. Go home, get on YouTube, and just YouTube Bobo highlights. And you're just – get on Twitter later. Barry is funny, and thank me later. And watch him Bobo highlights. It'll make your pants move a little. It is amazing.
He does to basketball in an awkward way.
It's fantastic.
What King of Twitch does to being a stalker. I mean, literally, people sleep on the fact that he's not a good basketball player because he's Manute Bol's son. He's tall and he's skinny.
And
he's damn good. But at the same time, I just, in all seriousness, as much as I think highly of Kevin Durant.
Yeah,
Kevin Durant's a guy that I just don't think fits this roster with all these young players. I think it would be a struggle with the ball because he wants the ball in his hands. Jalen wants it in his. I think it would be tough. So I would rather the Rockets stand pat at this point. If they can add Williams for a cheap price, great. If you got to overpay, I'm not even adding him, and I'll live with Steven Adams and Jock Landale as my backup centers.
See, I'm in this, like – I feel like I think I've said this before on this show, but I know I've said it on mine, but I just kind of see the Rockets heading down that same path that the Astros did, right? They had young draft picks. They're coming up. They're getting the seasoning. You've got the young veteran – or not young, but you've got a veteran that's kind of showing them the ropes. Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks is their Brian McCann and Carlos Beltran right now. And now you just need to find your Justin Verlander to go win your chip. And that Justin Verlander might be Kevin Durant.
But to the point that Sean's making, I've said similar things about the fact, because I'm done with both Fred and Dylan, and their contracts are just exorbitant. But well,
you didn't hang on to McCann and Beltran forever either, though.
But I feel like you need a guy that's closer in age with the rest of the roster. That's why Booker makes more sense. He's your closer. He's your guy in the peak years of his career. And he fits with the rest of the guys in the locker room as opposed to – you know, Grandpa comes in Kevin Durant and knows how he's had it his whole career, and maybe that doesn't jive with the young guys.
Sean, you raised your hand. I think you were going to say something.
Oh no, I just meant that. That's a good point with the hey, they didn't keep McCann and Beltran either. But yeah, I think that, like, honestly, the oldest I'd be willing to go as like the all in star trade, because making a move for like Rob Williams, that I feel like that's a little bit less. That's we're shopping in a different aisle when we're talking about backup bigs. But for like you're turning in all the assets you have from the Suns, the young guys that you have, to me, like, you can only go so old with these guys because you need them to be able to play with Jalen Green for more than 2 years. I mean, we're started talking about Butler, KD, a lot of these guys, they're like in their mid to upper 30s. Like that's just not gonna happen with Alperen Şengün, with Jalen Green, who are both in their early 20s. So to me, like, the oldest you can go is like Giannis, where it's like he's 29, 30 in that range. Other than that, I'm looking for the De'Aaron Fox, Devin Booker age, 27, 28 year old.
The problem is adding another shooting guard to a team that's all shooting.
They need
guards.
Shooters, though, Barry. say shooting guard loosely because Reed Shepard was supposed to be the guy. Yeah, none of them can shoot.
Okay. Well, then I get it. Then what are you hanging on to him for?
No, but you're turning some of those shooting guards into Devin Booker. That's what it is. It's like,
well, then why are you going to get Devin Booker?
Because he's way better than these guys.
Well, okay,
there's no question.
I mean,
and you have doubles. I mean, it's like you have a card collection. I'm Jim Crane now. I'm playing fantasy again. But you have multiple guys playing the same position to where at a certain point you have to thin that out just so that the guys get the run and the experience they need anyway. I mean, but at least like Kelly Eco wanted Donovan Mitchell a year ago. To me, Donovan Mitchell, to Sean's point, he's right on that cusp of being too old for this team, in my opinion.
Okay.
I think they got to get a younger guy that stays with this core, not a guy that like is here essentially expecting too much from this core like a Durant.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, they're second in the West, right? Yeah. They've maintained that. I didn't think they would still be second. Now, granted, they're seven back and the Thunder are just – they're I don't know.
That's the key. They're seven back of the Thunder, but they're close. The 6, 7, and 8 seeds are closer than they are to the Thunder. To where that's why I said yesterday. I think when all is said and done, Rockets don't have home court in the first round. They're closer to 5 or 6 than they are 1 through 4, in my opinion.
Ooh, you don't think so?
I don't.
Ooh, if they stand pat, I think you're right. But I think if they go out and add a piece, I think that they can maintain or at least get home court advantage. I think so. Now, if they stand pat with this young core and them still learning how to win and close, then I agree with you. I think they make the playoffs. I think they're a top six team, but you know, I don't think they'll have home court advantage. But if they go out and get a veteran, if they go out and get a big name to help them close out big games when it matters, and teach them how to win, then I think that changes the landscape. If they go out and get a guy like Kevin Durant or Devin Booker, or I'm not saying they catch the Thunder, but I think that keeps them as a legitimate top five team in the NBA all season, which gives them a legitimate chance of winning a title this season.
See, I don't think they have that. I don't think no matter what they do, unless it's some massive blockbuster.
Kevin Durant or Kevin or Devin Booker, they don't have a legitimate chance of winning a title this season.
No, they don't. They don't.
None of the other guys.
You're not going to beat Boston. You're not going to beat the Celtics. I don't think anybody beats the Celtics.
Boston's only lost one less game than them this season. Boston is susceptible. Boston can be beat. Yeah.
Okay, Barry, I disagree with you wholeheartedly because Boston's going through the motions. And when Boston's got all four of their guys, they're not resting. Boston has four go-to guys in their starting lineup that literally would be either one or the two on a different team. Mm-hmm. And they're deep, and their bench is loaded, and they're the reigning champs, and all those things. And I think the other thing you have to be leery of is Phoenix, whether they get Jimmy Butler or they get somebody else. They're trying to do everything for the now. They've been a disappointment. But Dallas is going to get Kyrie and Luka back. They're going to be a team that's probably going to win more in the second half. Denver is starting to figure things out to where they've been disappointing. They'll be better. Minnesota, same thing. So you're getting some teams that got off to slow starts, had injuries and whatever, that are going to make a push. And I just think the West is loaded. And then if you get to the East, trying to knock off a team like Boston – and maybe some of the other teams that I don't think the Rockets
can play. Well, I didn't say they would win it. I'm saying they could. I didn't say they will. I'm saying they're a contender. I didn't say they would win it.
I don't think they're a contender this year.
Yeah, and I think it comes down to Şengün, Green, Amin Thompson, Tari Eason, Jabari Smith when he gets healthy. Combined, zero career playoff games. I don't think you go from your entire core have never played a playoff game. Because even if you are training for Booker, some of these guys are going to have to start for you if you're going to make a playoff run. And you can't have, 60% of your rotation has never played a playoff game before this April.
No, but when you'll have Fred VanVleet, let's say you added either a Durant or Kevin Booker, or Devin Booker, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Well, that's two-fifths of your starters that obviously have playoff experience or that are veterans. If you happen to keep Dylan Brooks in that mix, that's three you know what I mean? Like you have those guys. You've got Sam Adams on the team, but you're not playing him. But
Sam Adams. You can get some good loggers.
I'm just saying you have experience on the team.
Yeah,
he looks like a logger, not a logger.
I get it.
I get what you're saying. It's just to me the analog for this year's Rockets team, the team I'm looking at, is last year's Thunder team, where it is a new group making their first playoff run, and you use that playoffs to see, okay, now what are our shortcomings in these playoffs, mm-hmm. and what can we do to improve? And that's what the Thunder did, moving on from rolling with their group, through the trade deadline, seeing what they had in the playoffs, having to bench Josh Giddey in the playoffs, and turning Giddey into Caruso. And I think that's where the Rockets are at.
To Sean's point, Barry, keep in mind that you can get out of Van Vliet at the end of the year because there's an option. If you get out of Van Vliet, that's 40-some million. And now you do have the extensions kicking in for Jalen and Alpi, but there's ways. Now you've got Phoenix's first-round pick. So if you're smart,
yeah, but then you're just getting younger again. At some point, you got to start getting younger, and you got to start getting better.
But you're losing Van Vliet. You're gonna if you could get out from Dylan Brooks, now you take that next step. You get rid of the veterans that were just supposed to be big brothers. They did their job. They got handsomely paid for it. Now find the guys that are better than them and a better fit for them that take you to the next level as well. Because there's between the draft and free agency and trades, you have all the resources sitting there to where there's no reason why you can't get better.
How do you get – okay, so you guys keep telling me, which – and it's a valid point. You guys keep telling me that this team isn't a contender because they're too young and have no experience. But then you're just telling me that you're going to let Van Vliet and Dylan Brooks leave and then draft – build through the draft and add two
guys. I didn't say the draft, did I?
No. What we're saying is the off season you make the move for one of these guys.
I think to Sean's point, you get your experience in the playoffs. You go as far as you can go. Hey, whatever it is, it's cake. I personally didn't think they would be anything other than a play-in team. If they get a series, even if it's just one series, they get their feet wet and they get a taste of what it's like, then it's a win.
Well,
in the offseason, whether you trade or free agency and or the draft, you do what you said. You identify where you got to get better, and you do.
And that is how, I mean, and I've likened this Rockets team in the past plenty to the Astros, and that is what they did. I mean, 2015, right? They went to the playoffs. They didn't have a ton of experience. They didn't have a ton of vets. They lost to the Royals. 2016, they kind of flopped a little bit, but then they learned how to win. That's the year, coming back on 2017, that's the year that they went out and got a veteran to get them over the hump. So I'm not disagreeing with you guys because that's the blueprint, but I'm just saying I do disagree with you in the fact that when you watch this team, and I can't believe I'm going to say this because I disagreed with you, Joel, when you said it, but you said that the play-in tournament was a playoff-like atmosphere, and they went out and they played their ass off, and they look like they, you know, got something out of that. I don't know. I feel like this team is good enough with another piece added to make a run, to be a contender. But what the hell do I?
Yeah, I think, look, again, there's a lot of positives. We talk about phases, and Ime and Tillman are on this whole, we got to get to phase two. Last year, when Ime's first year, you were 22 games better in the win-loss record. This year, you've already seen enough of the development of the young players to realize that you're already at phase two. But now how do you get to a championship level? I think it's more of what Sean and I were saying, that you don't rush. You let this play out this year because of how much you've already seen. You know it's a winning season no matter what, with how much they've improved again. And then you kind of have the ability to sit down at the end of the year with the contracts you can get out of and the picks you have and say, okay, now how do we get to that level that we're all hoping that they get to sooner rather than later with competing for a championship? All right, we got to get to a break. We're going to get to a break. We're going to finish up with the final half hour of the show. Plenty more to get to. If you guys want to join us, got the car wreck of the day coming up in the last segment. As always, if you got car wrecks, if you got suggestions, if you want to get on the program, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us up on social media. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM. Right now, before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about my good people at MyBookie. MyBookie.ag, place you want to be if you want to put money down on sports. They got all the sports all the time. It is the best place for you to go to. And we know that everything is heating up with the conference championship games of football, basketball on a nightly basis, college basketball on a nightly basis. All the different sports, all can be bet on at MyBookie.ag. And they're taking care of you as they always do, starting the year strong with all kinds of things like the risk-free Thursdays where you can place a bet. And if it doesn't hit, you don't have to pay it. But if you win, you cash in. all the way to the fact that they're still doing sign-up bonuses, where when you sign up and you put money in, they put money on top of it instantly, and you have more money in your account, more games you can bet on, and more chances you can win. They even got a loyalty rewards program now called MyBookie Plus. Once you sign up and get started, every time you place a bet, it registers with them, and after you continue to bet with them, you climb the tiers of the loyalty rewards program to reap better benefits, sometimes better odds, and a better way to place your money down and bet on sports. They are fantastic, and the process all starts with you knowing our promo code. It's BET975. Every time you get a chance to put in a promo code, if you put in BET975, you're going to cash in without placing a bet. They take care of you, and you're going to appreciate it. They've been in business for over a decade. They want to take care of you as a customer, so what are you waiting for? As I always tell you to do, bet anything, anytime, anywhere. With the only place I tell you to do it, it's mybookie.ag. Use our promo code BET975.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Brandon
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
J-Bone back tomorrow. Barry in for him, as we've had a great show and had a lot of fun and a lot of interaction with you guys, which we really enjoyed. Bear, before we wrap things up with the car wreck, I thought this was interesting because I think for you and Sean to get your perspective in here and for us to have a conversation, I don't know if you saw it or not, but the Australian Open, and I know, you know, the Australian Open at night, not a lot of people are tennis fans. But
huge tennis fan. Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Yeah, I know you and – well, because, you know, they called Djokovic the Joker, and you're a jokester. Maybe, you know, there was some kind of connection. Ben Shelton got knocked out at the Australian Open, had a press conference where at the very end of it, he decided that while he had the mic and because he was out of the tournament, instead of just strictly tennis, he decided he was going to be critical of the broadcasters around the tournament.
The door for me, and I was able to capitalize. One thing that I just want to say before we're done, I've been a little bit shocked this week with how players have been treated by the broadcasters, and I don't think that the guy who mocked Novak, I don't think that was just a single event. I've noticed it with different people, not just myself. I noticed it with Lerner Tien in one of his matches. I think when he beat Medvedev, his post-match interview, I thought it was kind of embarrassing and disrespectful, that interview. There's some comments that have been made to me in post-match interviews by a couple different guys, whether it was, hey, Monfils is old enough to be your dad, maybe he is your dad. Or today on the court, hey, Ben, how does it feel that no matter who you play in your next match, no one's going to be cheering for you? I mean, maybe true, but I just don't think a comment that's respectful from a guy I've never met before in my life. And I feel like broadcasters should be helping us grow our sport and help these athletes who just won matches on the biggest stage enjoy one of their biggest moments. And I feel like there's just been a lot of negativity, and I think that's something that needs to change.
I'm curious your guys' thoughts on this, because obviously I've got a lot of comments on it. I mean, a lot of thoughts on it. But I'll let you go. You guys go first, because I thought it was kind of curious that he kind of just decided to take that moment to do that.
Sean, go ahead.
I think it's understandable. It is a very human thing to be like, hey, by the way, for the because he got knocked out. Yeah, he got knocked out. Much to Barry's chagrin, hey, this is the last time I'm going to have a microphone in my face to talk to these people until, you know, Wimbledon or the next one, maybe the French Open. I'm going to, you know, get this off my chest. Now, part of it is I don't know the specifics of the incidents that he's referring to. It hasn't crossed my consciousness, but I do think that is
athletes. Well, let's put it in the context of just across how it relates to all sports.
Yeah, athletes do this a lot, where they treat it like it's a, you're not helping us build the sport. And while that's true, the media does play a part. They don't have to play a part by being cheerleaders, by always being positive. They have to, there's, you have to be neutral. There has to be neutrality in your coverage. So, yeah, they're not going to always be buddy-buddy with these athletes, and that's what I think rubs a lot of people the wrong way. Now, you can cross the line with that and go too antagonistic, but I think no matter what, if you're not completely state-run media, you're going to have athletes that think that you're being unfair.
Go ahead, Bear.
Yeah, it's not the job of the guys covering the sport to grow the sport. It's their job to cover it, right? It's the job of the league or the, you know, the tennis federation or whatever the hell it is to grow it. So that would be like going to the Associated Press or whoever covers the NFL and being like, oh, man, you guys over here at Sports Illustrated, you're always asking tough questions. You guys got to go easier on us and help us grow the NFL or baseball or whatever. It just doesn't work like that. That's not their job. Now, to that point aside, you can't be an a-hole as a media member and say a bunch of mean stuff to a dude, to an athlete, and make jokes like that if you don't know the dude. If you know the guy and you want to crack a joke and he's cool with it and you know he's going to be cool with it, that's the one thing. But to sit there and be like, oh, you could be playing your dad. And, oh, how's it feel to know no one's cheering for you? You know,
see,
which
that's
maybe that's taken out of context because maybe, hey, that would be like saying, how does it feel to go play? Let's say that you're, you know, playing the national championship game in Atlanta and you're playing against the Georgia Bulldogs and you're Ohio State. How's it feel to know that the whole crowd's going to be cheering against you? You're not saying that no one likes Ohio State. You're just saying the circumstances are you're in Atlanta.
The delivery matters. Right? That's where I was going to go. First and foremost, to your point, there is nothing wrong with asking a tough question. But how you ask that question will go a long way towards getting the kind of answer that you're looking for. Because whether you're writing a story or you're trying to drive a narrative that will allow you to kind of cover it a certain way, because you're looking to get an honest response from the person you're asking it from. If immediately, and especially because you don't know them, and look, there is something to be said about if you've developed a relationship with the guys you're covering, because then you can even pre-warn them, hey, I got to ask some questions tonight about this. But at the same time, instead of saying, no matter who you play, how's it feel to know that no one's going to be cheering for you, kind of position it like, hey, in the next round, you've heard the crowd get behind so-and-so and so-and-so. You're going to be a heavy underdog from a crowd perspective. How does that affect you, or what have you thought about it? He's probably going to be more likely to answer it like that. I think it's easy to just say the players are being soft, but I think that at a certain time and a certain place, it's where if the media really is trying to get the objective is to get the honest answer, then how I present the question is as important as anything else. And if I do it flippantly, cocky, or just completely annoying, I'm probably not going to get the result that I want.
Yeah, you catch more flies with honey than with vinegar or whatever it is. Look, that, and I think just being a jerk when you're asking questions, which is, I think, his point. And to his point, I don't think he's going to say it if it hadn't been happening. You know what I mean? Athletes are sensitive, sure. Some of them are. But I think they're also used to it. You know what I mean? They're kind of used to it, and you get used to it. But you also get to the point where you've had enough, and you're going to say it. You know what I mean?
Look, well, the other thing is the guy
just lost.
We're
in the business too, Joel. You know, when you're in the public eye, no matter what it is you do, whether it's radio or you're a tennis player or you're an actor or whatever, when you're in the public eye, you know you sign up for a certain amount of criticism and ridicule or whatever. And
fair
so,
or not,
you,
yeah.
you know, yeah, fair or not. So you deal with the vast majority of it. But then at some point, you just get sick of it. And so you say something. And I think that's where he probably got with it. Was like, all right, I've had enough. And I'm going to say something and call these dudes out. So I think that's all it is. And, you know,
well, but he just lost, too. Probably so you know you're not – if you got a guy that's already probably not pleased, it's like the guy covering Notre Dame the other night, and he was offended by the fact that they were all pissed off after the game and saying, don't ask me about this, don't ask me about that, and not really talkative. You just put your butt on the line for a national championship and you lost. You're not in the best frame of mind to suddenly, you know, get into some of the things that these guys are trying to get out of you.
Yeah, and I don't blame them. Who wants to answer those questions? Nobody. I mean, that's no. That's the thing that's wild to me about people on our side of the business, in the media side of sports, that it's their job to ask questions. And they love to hide behind that, right? And I don't think, you know, we're not really – we're pundits more so than media, in the sense that we don't – it's not our job to go in and ask questions and then write about it. We just give opinions. We talk and give opinions. Those guys go in and ask questions and then write an article based on the answer sometimes. But they're also – those guys go in and ask those questions, and they're leading questions. They're fishing. They're looking for anger. Mm-hmm. They're looking for devastation. They're asking tough questions on purpose, and they don't care, you know? So no. I don't blame those guys for not wanting to answer them.
Yeah, because you're forced to do it. Look, how many times have we heard from Marshawn Lynch to everybody else, I'm just here so I don't get fined. Tom Brady said over and over again, I said things that I meant the exact opposite, or I thought the exact opposite, but I said things because I'm not going to give you the game plan. I'm not going to tell you who we're going to pick on and attack because we don't think they can play. And as much as you and we saw this with injuries in the last couple of years in Houston with Kyle Tucker and Christian Harris and all these other guys, you expect that the team is just going to be gushing with all this extra information to tell you exactly how it is and what the status is. And that's not their objective. They're talking because they have to. So I think that's something that you got to keep in mind.
And a lot of times, media guys, and especially those guys in there asking questions, they love to tell you how important it is that they ask these questions. Nobody cares. I promise you, 90% of the sports fans out there that are in sports fan land, if they go to an article and don't get to read that Joe Blow writer – it didn't get to ask his question. We're all going to be okay. We're all going to live if we just get some basic feedback from the players after the game, or none if we have to wait a couple of days. We're all fine. Like, we watch the game, you know, you get a couple of sound bites from the winning team or maybe from the losing coach or whatever. But if I don't have to watch a player begrudgingly give me a half-ass answer to a terrible question, I'll live. It's just, it's disgusting to watch some of these media guys act so high and mighty with their questions. Well, you should answer that. Bro, your question ain't that good and it ain't that important.
All right, we got one segment to go on the show. We got to get to a break. Hit the break, then the car wreck of the day comes up next. So if you got car wrecks, get them to us. We've got ours. We'll get them to you before we get out of here at the top of the hour at 6 o'clock. Give us a call, 713-780-3776, or hit us up on the text line. Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Allstate Siding Windows. They're absolutely fantastic, and they have been in business for almost almost 50 years. They have been phenomenal for me and my family. They could do the same for you, whether it's siding and all the different ways that siding can be a durable and weather-resistant outer shell for your house, to the windows that we just had installed in this house a little over a year ago, and the fact that they make the curb appeal go way up. They make your energy bills go way down. And the people at Allstate are experts. So they're going to tell you all the products they offer. And then they're going to pinpoint the ones that, based on your house, the year it was built, the design that it has, what will be the best to fit and make everything look and be the best and most efficient for you in your situation. It all starts with a free estimate. All it takes is picking up the phone and calling them. 832-204-1936. They'll have someone come out to you and tell you exactly what they can do. 832-204-1936, or go to their website, Allstate Siding and Windows. There you can see all the products that they offer, all the services they can help with, everything from ordering a new front door to the windows, the siding, and so much more. They are fantastic, and they're always taking care of Houstonians. 30% off window jobs, $2,500 off a complete siding job, and they will work with you. Free estimates, as I mentioned, family run for almost 50 years. Discounts for senior citizens and military and first responders. All you got to do is get the process started today. Call them, 832-204-1936. Tell them I sent you by.
ESPN 97.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. I'll give you a f***ing bone, you prick. Where's my f***ing money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Back for our car wreck of the day, taking you up to the top of the hour. At the top of the hour, soccer does matter, and my man Glenn Davis is the foremost expert on everything soccer, as he will take you through another episode of Soccer Matters starting at 6 all the way till 7. So stay tuned for that. But before that, there is this. It is the car wreck of the day. For me, it starts with the Hall of Fame. And I will give my car wreck of the day to the idiot that is anonymous. Twitcher? No. The idiot that is anonymous that did not vote for Ichiro to get into the Hall of Fame. One, if you're going to be that stupid, put your name on it. And two, baseball, get your head out of your keister and find a different way to do the balloting, because this is the example of all examples of how you need to change how you do things.
Nice.
Thank you.
Is it my turn?
Yes.
I was torn. I guess I'll give it like a... No. My runner-up was going to go to the headline I saw where Patrick Mahomes doesn't think the NFL officials are being unfair. Well, you don't say, Pat, do you? But I saw an article across my feed on MSN.com that said a historic college football program, Nebraska, the Nebraska Cornhuskers, have lost 31 players in a mass exodus of the transfer portal. 31 players have hit the transfer portal and left, even after winning the Pinstripe Bowl and breaking their bowl game drought. So that's awful. Matt Rhule has fought to try to put, you know, regain some respectability in that program, but it's obviously not working. Yeah. That's a lot.
But especially without a coaching change. Like, normally it's 30.
Yeah.
If you get that high of a number, it's because head coach got fired or moved on somewhere else. But 31's insane.
That's crazy.
My car wreck of the day is drivers in Turkey.
What?
Yes, drivers in Turkey. There's a Sam Amick profile on Alperen Şengün from today. And in there, Alperen Şengün has this quote: "I've had a lot of injuries from childhood, like everywhere. My arms, my knees. I have injuries and scars everywhere from climbing places. A car hit me twice. I was almost dying. I've had a lot of stuff, and now I play basically every game. A car hit me twice?
What?
Alperen Şengün, the 6 foot tall 12 year old got hit twice by cars? And what? He just passes by it. Like, they just, like,
just,
you know,
keep going.
Got hurt climbing, got hit by a car twice. Da 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 da.
Blocking. Unreal. That was definitely a blocking foul. Just,
yeah.
No, they just keep going.
Play on.
Yeah. Wow.
I just like the casual nature of, like, yeah.
Like, yeah,
scars.
I've been hit by a car twice.
Bumped my knee. As a
Most
kid,
people are never hit by a car in their life. Alperen has been hit twice.
And it's not like some tragic story. It's just, I got hit by a car twice. Now I play every game. It's weird.
Now, are you mad at drivers in Turkey or eye doctors?
I mean, either. All they have is the hair doctors, from what I hear. So maybe they don't have eye doctors.
That's true.
Yeah, who's winning?
I want to give it to the Ichiro non-voter.
Yeah,
just out
so.
Of principle. I always hate
I
the contrarian Hall of Fame voter.
Yeah,
no doubt.
I agree.
All right, fellas. Barry, thank you as always. Every time you fill in, it's a joy. It's a treat, and I appreciate you, my friend. Sean, you too.
Thanks, sir,
for doing all the hard work, because you've been basically living with Dell for 2 days. So go home, have some fun, relax.
Wait.
Yeah, and we'll talk to everybody tomorrow. Appreciate all of you guys as well, except for a select few, and you know who you are. For Barry and Sean, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow on the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.